Good evening, everybody. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, our verse for memorizing this week is verse 11. But I want to do a little bit of a background of what's happening in Romans 6 before we get to the message of Romans 6:11. Romans is a book on how man can stand justified before God. And the key theme verse of the whole book is Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul goes on to show how justification or being right in God's sight has to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can't come through our own perfection, by mentioning in chapter 1 how the Gentiles, those people that were not part of the Jewish people in the Old Testament, they fell into all sorts of moral decay and fell away from God, and they were in dire need of a Savior. And then in chapter 2, he turns the tables on to the Jews, and he says, the Jews that had the law, they didn't keep the law perfectly, and they transgressed it many times. They thought that they were good and they could make a boast in law, but then upon closer examination, they ought to have realized that they had sinned. And so in chapter 3, then he makes the conclusion that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so in what way can we stand justified before a holy God when we have fallen short of his holiness? Well, the answer is found in chapter 4, where we have this Old Testament figure, Abraham, who's justified not by perfect, flawless law-keeping. In fact, he lived even before the law of Moses ever came. How was he justified? By walking by faith. Included in that, yes, is obedience. But his life was a life of faith. And so in chapter 5, we have the conclusion, we're justified by faith. When we take God at his word, when we have faith in Jesus Christ, who was the perfect, sinless sacrifice for our souls, then we can have this righteousness, this justification, where we can stand before God. But then when Romans 5 makes the point that the more we sin, the more God provided this grace through Jesus Christ, the question is asked at the beginning of chapter 6. Should we continue in sin and sin all the more, that God will provide all the more grace? And what is God's answer? God forbid. And he tells these Christians to look back on the time when they became Christians, when they became saved, and recognize the decision that they made in regard to sin. And he asked them to answer this question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Do you not know that when you were baptized into Jesus' death? Therefore we are buried into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, as somebody that has been baptized, we put to death and buried under that water when it was our body was immersed. We buried that old man of sin. And what came up is no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness. You remember the Israelites when they were led out of bondage? They were under these cruel taskmasters, the Egyptians. And they were brought through the Red Sea. And when they came through that water of the Red Sea, their oppressors followed after them. And God closed the walls of water on both sides, and their oppressors were drowned in the sea. In John 8, verse 34, Jesus said, John 8, verse 24, he says, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. So we serve sin when we commit sin, when we have a life of sin. But when we're baptized, we are choosing to be united with Christ in his death. We're put into Christ, into his death, where he shed his blood. And from that point on, our relationship with sin is different. Not that we will never make a mistake or sin again, but we regard ourselves not as servants of sin, but as servants of righteousness. And so we have put our man of sin to death. He that has died is freed from sin, verse 7. And we're alive now to live to God and not to live to sin. We have a new master. And with saying all that, he then goes on in verse 11 to say this. Just as Jesus died to sin once for all, and that he lives to God, likewise, we also must reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. There are some things in the Christian life that we've got to avoid. I know there are a lot of people that don't like, do not do this, do not do that. I know that that seems like a downer. But you know, that's part of the Bible. There are some things that we have to consider ourselves to be dead to. And sometimes the problem in our Christian lives is, while we may up front say, yes, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to practice this anymore, in the back of our mind we think, well, if the possibility arises, or if I'm in a situation where I find things difficult, I may well do that. Now, we don't really want to tell ourselves that, but if we really examined ourselves, in the back of our mind, that's what our thinking is. And Paul is saying that we need to have the attitude that sin is not even a consideration. It's not even a possibility. We are dead to sin. Now, just as much as the Bible emphasizes that there is a do not or a dead list, there is also a list of things that we ought to do in order to be living, to really living the life God wants us to live. And so notice in verse 11, he says not only that we have to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin, but then also alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, it's not just enough in my Christian life for me to say, I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this, and then that's it. I've got to fill that negative stuff with something positive. And so I have to put off or mortify or kill certain things, and other things I've got to let bloom and to let grow and to be living in my life. Now, with that said, I want you to go to another passage in the Bible that I really think sheds light on this idea of being dead to sin but alive to God. Go with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, you remember that we just talked about when we're baptized, we bury that old man of sin. At that point, we no longer serve sin, Romans 6, verse 7. When we are raised from that water, from that grave where we've been immersed in water, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Our sins are washed away. We're servants of God. We're washed in the blood of Christ. And how are we to consider our relationship to sin from that point on? Well, notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 beginning. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Then notice verse 5. Therefore, mortify, or put to death, these things. The members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. And verse 8 then says, but now you yourselves also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, so that's all the negative things. That is all the things that we must stop, we must mortify, we must put to death if we are really going to live the life that God wants us to live. But that's not the end. We don't just have things that we stop doing. We've got to replace those with things that we are to be doing. And so notice verse 10 says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created them, where there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. And then he goes on to say how we ought to have the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, and whatever we do in word or deed, we ought to do by the authority of Jesus Christ. See, there are things that I have to put off, but But that's not enough. I also have to put on certain things. You see, I have to die to sin, and I die to sin when I make that decision to obey the gospel, and that culminates in baptism. You know, I believe the gospel, repent of my sins, I confess faith in Christ, and I bury that old man in that watery grave. But then when I'm raised, I should have a different attitude toward sin. I'm dead to that, and I have a different attitude toward God. I'm alive to Him. Have you ever heard somebody use the expression, maybe they see somebody that just has a lot of nice things in life, and they say, you know, that's really living. God wants us to really live. Turn with me to one more passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have our physical lives, which last for just a short time. And each day that we live our physical lives, we're getting older, we're getting closer to the grave, we're not as vibrant and as youthful as we used to be. But spiritually, things are going in an opposite trend, aren't they? Things are going up. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about how though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 16. And then in verse 17 he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, that would be our physical bodies and physical things all around us that are decaying and corrupting and breaking down. But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They have an expiration date. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so when we have a brother or a sister in Christ that passes away, yes, their physical body has expired. But spiritually, they were going onward and upward, and now they're home. You want to know what really living is? When you see a brother or a sister and they show you the love of Christ by doing something for you that you just never expected, that's really living. When you're able to serve somebody and help them in a situation in a way that they are never going to be able to pay you back, that's really living. When somebody is baptized into Christ and the way that you feel when you see that, that's really living. When you're singing praises to God, and you can just imagine yourself in heaven around His throne doing that forever and ever and ever, and you feel like you've got just a taste of that here on earth when you're together with your brothers and sisters singing, that's really living. And when you see somebody that has lived years and years of a faithful Christian life, and at the end of their life, they don't want to be here anymore, they want to be with the Lord, and they don't have any fear of death because they know that they're going to a much better place, and they're consoling you, that's really living. God wants us to live to Him and to die to sin. If we really want to be living, if we really want to have the joy of the Christian life, we've got to learn to live. Romans 6, verse 11. We've got to die to sin and live to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel. You know, sometimes we're really eager to get somebody in the water because we recognize what Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let me tell you, it's not a light thing that God is asking you to do. If you'll read Romans 6, you'll find that one of the words that is used most often in there is the word death or die. And so when somebody makes the decision to be baptized into Christ, they're making the decision that they're going to come to Jesus and die to themselves. If you're ready, if you're at that point to do that tonight, we're here to help you. And maybe you've done those first things and you have no longer really considered yourself dead to sin and you found yourself in it again. God wants you to come back. He wants you to really live. And so if you have any sort of need along this line that we can help you with, why not come while together we stand and while we sing?
And pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Be seated, please.